Right now, new and returning vidIQ customers can buy 1 month of vidIQ and get the second month free. This offer is going on until July 31st and can be used towards a purchase of either a pro or boost level account. All you have to do is visit vidIQ.com/bonus. If you've been looking to unlock our full suite of tools, now is a great time. You have until July 31st, vidIQ.com/bonus. While it's changing every day, YouTube Shorts isn't going anywhere anytime soon. And we're all playing with this tool in different ways, at least here at vidIQ. We're testing different styles of videos on different channels, covering different topics, and we're learning a lot. But we weren't really learning as much as we wanted to as quick as we wanted to. So today, we cheated a little bit, and we decided to bring in one of the pioneers in the YouTube Shorts space. I'm really excited about today's conversation.
Welcome to Tube Talk, the show dedicated to helping you become a better video creator so you can get more views, subscribers, and build your audience. Brought to you by vidIQ. Download for free at vidIQ.com.
Welcome back to the Tube Talk podcast. I'm Dan Carson, joined once again by the one and only Rob Wilson.
Hello, everybody. Good to hear from you all today. Looking forward to this chat.
I'm very much looking forward to this chat. Now, we've talked about shorts in the past, but we got a pretty big get today. Mr. Jake Fellman is here of YouTube and YouTube Shorts. You own the space, in my opinion, so welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a weird title to have, but one that I will wear with pride.
Jake Fellman of YouTube Shorts.
I think we should just lay down a couple of statistics here just to give you some context of Jake Fellman, just from the raw numbers. And Jake knows I always love doing this. So as of the end of March, or endish of March when we're recording this, Jake currently has 3.92 million subscribers. So pre-congratulations, Jake, on hitting 4 million, which shouldn't be too long. 2.4 billion views. And I always like to remind Jake of who he's bigger than now in the YouTube universe. And so these are according to TubeFilter statistics that they occasionally release about the most viewed channels in the US. So I can say that Jake Fellman is or has been bigger than the following: IGN, Markiplier, Mr. Beast, SNL, Talking Tom, that silly cat that says things, countless child channels of many descriptions, and the one that makes me smile the most, Sesame Street.
You know, I actually watched those two filter charts as well, and I had no idea that Talking Tom was so profoundly popular.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
He's really kicking it. Yeah. He gets some views.
Yeah, it's been at the top of the Android download charts for years, Dan. How have you not downloaded it yourself and spoken to Tom at some point?
I know what you're talking about. It's that, yeah, the digital cat.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah. No, I didn't realize there was any following there. I just thought that was a fad.
Me neither. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. We got the opportunity to hear you speak in Clubhouse. You had a lot of really interesting things to say. But for anyone who wasn't there and anyone who doesn't know anything about you now other than your stats, tell everybody who you are, what you're about on your channel.
Yeah. So I think the simplest way to describe what I do or who I am is I'm a 3D artist, and I provide entertainment through short form animated content on social media. And it's funny because we're really talking a lot about YouTube Shorts today, but I was actually a TikTok creator before I was a YouTube shorter. I don't know what the term is for YouTube Shorts.
Yeah, short
guy, but
I like that.
Yeah. So anyway, I started out on TikTok, and yeah, so the software I use, it's the same software that Disney and Pixar use to create animated movies like Frozen and Toy Story, but I use it to create animated video game shorts.
So the game you started with, the game we know you from, is Among Us. And this game had its moment, you know, in all of our minds. And now I think the game's popularity has slowly kind of died down a little bit. And I'm sure you've seen that too, because you've actually switched up what you're doing now.
Yeah, so I very recently started making Minecraft content, and I have yet to see that really explode for my channel, but I think that things are just kind of in that turnover phase. I've only made like 10 pieces of content for Minecraft so far. But yeah, that's a series that I'm currently building out, and
I know we're jumping into the weeds just a little bit right now, Jay, but let's just quickly talk about the pivots in that you've now moved from would you say you've permanently moved from Among Us to Minecraft now? Is that, are you doing no more Among Us content in the future?
So yeah, that's a good question. I did 90 pieces of Among Us content, and I really like personally wanted to get to 100. But like the numbers were not there anymore. I was seeing like such a steady decline in viewership, and sort of with everything else up in the air with shorts coming to the United States this past week, I really wanted to get some Minecraft stuff out the door before we had like a big flop or any change in viewership on the platform as a whole. So I figured it was time for me, but you know, I know Among Us is actually coming out with a new update to their game, a pretty big update apparently.
Okay.
On the 31st of March. So depending, I always keep a close eye on Google Trends. And so if we see an uptick on Google Trends there for some reason or another, I will certainly produce maybe a few more. It would be nice to have an excuse to get to 100. But for the most part, I don't plan on going back to Among Us unless I see a compelling reason to do so.
Do you think maybe shorts by its nature means that there's a faster rate of audience fatigue, you know, because you, I mean, usually a creator may make 90 pieces of content on a game or a topic, perhaps in a year, or possibly two. You've done this in more or less just under 6 months. Or do you think that it was just also the topic of Among Us is starting to die and you're just trying to stay current with trends, and Minecraft just happens to be that permanent trend on YouTube?
Yeah, I don't know if I can necessarily speak to like fatigue and viewership, but I do, you know, for me, it was like, I never planned on making even 10 Among Us videos.
Right, right.
So I just like, I made one and it was very successful. So I made another and then that was good. And then I got to number 10 and I was like, I can't believe I made 10 of these. Like that's, I had never done like a series before. And then I was like, okay, maybe I'll go to 20. And then it was like, maybe 30. And every time I upped that number, I was like, I can't believe I'm still making this, because I ended up doing it for 5 months straight. So, you know, for me, is I was always looking for that excuse to get out of it. And I was waiting for the numbers to drop as an indication of like, okay, time to you know, change up my content. And yeah, like you said, Minecraft is sort of the everlasting trend. It has been around for 10 years and it still is kicking it pretty powerfully. So I was ready to switch to Minecraft when the time came, but I don't necessarily see in terms of trends like dying and moving fast or slowly. I don't know if I'm as experienced enough creator to necessarily like speak to that.
If shorts had come out just a little bit sooner, you could have jumped on Fall Guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been. And the animation style is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been doing a lot of animated gaming content. I've been kind of curious to ask you this. Have you been considering any other style of animation outside of video games? And maybe that would be for the purposes of a broader appeal or just a new challenge.
Yeah. So it's just like, it's so weird talking about me being an animator because I mean, yeah, I've been an animator, but like before that, but like 5 months ago, I was just a 3D artist and I did not identify as an animator. I was basically managing clients and doing freelance projects for like gas stations and stuff. And literally, like, my first Among Us animation was my first ever, like, character animated thing, like, that had a moving legs and arms and stuff. Like, I had literally never done anything with legs or, like, moving body, which is, like, a whole nother category. And I think that you can actually see myself, like, my improvement over time because I just was so bad at it in the beginning. But yeah, it's just funny because I wasn't, like, a video game animator until 5 months ago. And in 5 months, I could be something completely different. Yeah, so like the video game stuff is here right now. I certainly would like to get away from any sort of box that I've put myself into. So yeah, so eventually down the road, I plan to introduce my own characters and my own series, sort of like intellectual property of my own so that I can sell plush toys and merchandise around that. But the reason why I think video games have been so successful for me is just because it's like right now people are watching my content because it's Minecraft or because it's Among Us. And they're not really watching Jake Feldman for Jake Feldman. So I'm trying to reach that level of notoriety down the road where it's like, oh, people will watch Jake Feldman animations because it's Jake Feldman animations. It's just like, I support this artist. And like I've already said earlier, my Minecraft stuff is not taking off as much as my Among Us stuff has. And eventually that audience will flood in from Minecraft. I do believe that. But it's just kind of like the building phase and kind of the trend jacking, as they call it.
Right. One other thing I'm curious about too, because you were talking about some of the other things you had going on before YouTube. You had clients, you're making content for brands. We all know that Shorts isn't something you can monetize on YouTube. And I'm kind of curious if there's a strategy there, perhaps in just a year's time or something like that. Maybe YouTube comes around and makes Shorts monetizable, but assuming they never do, do you have any plans to kind of take this channel and turn it into a business? Now, I don't know how much the channel's making on its own right now without, you know, maybe enough people are watching outside of Shorts and you're getting some ad revenue from that. Maybe you're not, but assuming it's all Shorts from here on out, what are the plans?
So yeah, it's funny because it always circles back to money in these conversations, and I'm more than happy to talk about it. I'm pretty open about the fact that it's also public knowledge that Shorts aren't monetized, but I'm pretty open about the fact that I don't make much money from it. That being said, between the TikTok Creator Fund and like the small amount of revenue that trickles in from YouTube, like people not watching through the Shorts player, I'm making enough to pay for my rent and food. So I'm pretty much just living on break-even point. So there's no push for me to be like, I need to sign a brand deal right now, or I need to like sell some t-shirts. I'm just kind of floating and trying to grab any viewership that's out there still. That being said, I touched on this. I plan to create my own intellectual property and franchise it. Like, who knows what it'll be? Maybe a little koala. And a series about a koala, and it's like original, and I can sell plush toys on it and t-shirts and stuff. So there will be something like that in the future, but I have no like compelling reason to really push for that anytime soon while I'm floating at break even and while I'm seeing the viewership that I am. So yeah.
All right, let's step way back now, Jake, and just go, I guess, back to your origin story in terms of, I think, both becoming a TikToker and, as you appropriately put it, a shorter. Because I remember when I was speaking to you before, that there was a LinkedIn post that you put, I think back in October 2019, I seem to remember. And you said something along the lines of, this time next year, I will have 1 million followers. And I think that was for TikTok. And you were more or less bang on with that prediction. But then you discovered Shorts. And at the time, from what I can remember, your channel had 40,000 total channel views. I don't know how many subscribers it would have been, but it's probably four figures or less. And now you've achieved what many creators, even the best creators in the world, take years to achieve. And you've done that in a few months. Tell us about your journey from making that first statement that you're going to get, you want 1 million view followers, to where you are now.
Yeah. Thanks for opening up that for discussion. It's kind of a twisty, turny story. Essentially, how it goes is I was like really into podcasts and stuff, like listening to podcasts back throughout my junior year of college. And one of the guys who was just like always in my ear was Gary Vaynerchuk, who at that time was just like beating his chest, constantly saying, download TikTok. And it wasn't really like, I think TikTok really grabbed its hold on the United States when quarantine hit, but this was like before quarantine, right? This is in October before Corona was even a thing. And so in October of 2019, I was just listening to Gary go on about how anybody can get organic reach on TikTok. I just was thinking, hey, it would be kind of cool to get 1 million followers. And it's funny because at the time, I would like to say that it was for my business. I was like, okay, I'm going to use this as a marketing thing for my business. But I was like, I want 1 million followers on something. Anyway, I downloaded it and I said, hey, just downloaded TikTok for the first time and mark my words, in 1 year or less, I will have 1 million followers. And the first account I made was, there was three accounts. And for 5 months, I had no traction. And literally on my third account that I started in April, I started the account and within 48 hours, I had 10,000 followers. And then within the first 20 days, I hit 100,000. And then there was pretty steady growth throughout the next 5 months or so. And I hit 1 million exactly 1 year after my statement. So it was like pretty sweet, like I told you so moment. And then at that time too, I was just sort of re-uploading my TikToks onto YouTube Shorts as sort of just recycling it, you know, making sure that I have a presence on all the platforms, and randomly started seeing traction on there sometime of end of October. And yeah, then all of a sudden it exploded. But I do remember like the week before it exploded, because it really did explode. It was like I was at a manageable amount, like you said, like four figures or something. And it jumped up to like 100,000 in 1 week and then 200,000 the next week. And I just remember like the week before it all happened, I was very vigilant about engaging with my YouTube audience because I was trying so hard to make it happen. I went through all my videos, which was at the time was only like, you know, 40 videos. And I like replied to all the comments. Most of them didn't even have comments on them. I replied to every single comment. I should figure out what date that was because it was pretty weird. And then literally the next day I like looked and I was like, wow, I can't even reply, or it seemed like it was the next day. I can't even reply to all of these anymore, which is like fascinating to see that turnaround. But it was very fast that things came off on Shorts.
Yeah. I think we're all familiar with, or at least it has happened in the past, this idea of a Shorts surge, whereby you will post content on YouTube Shorts and nothing happens for up to 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden YouTube just dumps this video in front of potentially millions of eyeballs. And I guess it judges your channel or that video in a very short space of time. And I guess, of course, due to the quality of your content, it found exactly what it was looking for. And then you've continued to feed that new Shorts algorithm beast pretty much exactly what it's wanted, to the point now where I think, I was just looking at your numbers again, you're averaging around about 10 million views a day. It's somewhere in a region like 13 was the average. Do you feel as if Shorts is going to be sustainable for you irrespective of the income, or you've already noticed that there's now your numbers are going down? This could be because now everybody knows about YouTube Shorts, not just a few people here and there. Yeah, what are your maybe long-term plans for just YouTube Shorts?
Yeah, so it's interesting because like I'm working all day every day right now to get content out the door. I often say each video takes me about 8 hours to create. So it's like I wake up and pour a cup of coffee and then I work for the whole entire day. And that's me animating, right? But then all this other administrative stuff to take care of in terms of running the channel. But yeah, I work the whole day. So it's not in terms of like sustainability for me as a creator. I do think down the line, I'm going to have to delegate tasks or something because I can't, it's like breakneck speed. So yeah, there definitely will be a change down the road. Right now, it makes sense to keep it with just myself as the only person animating and creating everything, but I could use a helping hand. In terms of like, oh wait, there was a second part of that. Was there a second part of that?
I think that my question was, but it was a bit convoluted, is do you see yourself as a short form content creator in the long term, just doing Shorts or TikToks, or do you want to... I mean, you already have these ideas of creating new characters, intellectual property. You know, you're thinking maybe 5-minute cartoons or animations in the future.
Yeah, well, that's like an obvious progression, you know, an extension of animation. But the reality is like, I could not make a 5-minute animation on my own. Like I just couldn't. Or the trade-off would be I'd make one video a month, which I'm not particularly interested in. I'm a big believer in trying to do daily content. So,
yeah, which is the big struggle for animators for the last decade on YouTube, that it takes so long to do this content. I mean, we'll probably go into the process of spending 8 hours creating 20 seconds of content a little later, but Shorts has kind of provided that almost like the perfect solution for many animators, and you're embracing that currently.
Yeah, so there are solutions for how I could take my content to longer form stuff. Like, one thing I would consider is doing like commentary over a 3D modeling video. So just kind of like telling a story about myself or about something, just kind of talking and then modeling something in the 3D space that pertains to the story. Mm-hmm. And there's other creative directions that could be taken. It's all kind of would have to be a leap of faith in any direction. But it's hard for me to really look seriously at anything besides Shorts right now, you know? So it's not very on my mind.
This episode of Tube Talk is brought to you by vidIQ's channel audit tool, a sort of report card for how your YouTube channel has been performing. When you're in your YouTube studio, the channel audit tool can be found on the left-hand side once you've installed vidIQ on either your Chrome or Firefox browser. As long as you've authenticated your channel, clicking on channel audit will give you a bird's eye view of your videos from the last 30, 60, or even 90 days. I personally use this tool to look for patterns with my content. What types of videos are currently getting the most views per hour? Which videos drove a lot of viewers to subscribe? What types of videos are my competitors creating, and how do mine compare? What are the search terms bringing people to my channel in the first place? And if this is sounding like a lot of questions, well, that's probably because I ask too many questions. But that's why I love this tool, because I can get answers to all of them and more. You can access the channel audit tool for free when you download the vidIQ extension at vidIQ.com.
Do you feel as if you're in the moment right now? You're just so in the weeds of like making this content that right now you can't stick your head above water to breathe and look at your surroundings, just because I guess the opportunity is here. It is the YouTube Shorts gold rush, even though ironically no one's been making any money. But there are channels like yourself who are becoming these huge channels in such a short space of time. But you know at some point you're going to take a step back, but you just feel as if the most important thing right now is to create content for an audience.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right.
It's like, when I started seeing my numbers, so like you already mentioned, my numbers are like decreasing solidly. When I started seeing my numbers decrease from the Among Us stuff, this is it, late February. I was starting to see in early February, in January, my videos were averaging 20 million views per video. And then they started averaging like 15. And then like on a daily basis, I was only getting 15 million views versus the 30 million I was used to in January. Regardless, my point is like when I started seeing these numbers decrease, like I didn't necessarily feel super bad about it because I knew that I gave it my all while the opportunity was there.
Yeah.
Because the reality is it's going to get more saturated as time goes on. But it's like throughout the entire month of February, I grinded so hard. Like I made videos almost every single day. I missed like 5 days in February. And so seeing those numbers decrease a little bit, it was like, yeah, anybody's going to be disappointed to see their viewership decrease. But you're exactly right in saying it's a gold rush, because it's like, hey, I had my moment in the spotlight and I really grabbed everything and I did absolutely everything that was in my power. And now that it's like going down a little bit, it's fine. I'm just going to do the best with the best, you know, content that I can with the information that I have on hand. And so, and there's nothing else that you can do. Now, I would have felt like a piece of crap if I had only done 5 videos in February and it's like, oh, now my viewership is decreasing. But I really gave everything that I had to it. And so, you know, now that numbers are dropping a little bit, I'm okay with it. And I think that it ebbs and flows too. So I think that my Minecraft series will take off eventually.
I think that's an important attitude for creators to have, in that you're kind of on the opposite end of this analytical struggle, whereby a lot of creators struggle because they're just not getting the views and YouTube's never going to share my content. And then you've had this unbelievable surge and now it's kind of like a leveling off period, and you're accepting of the fact that maybe because of the unique situation of Shorts, my channel was performing above expectations, but I know at some point there's going to be a leveling off. And as you say, you gave it your all. You didn't give up because YouTube was, you know, kind of punishing you by not giving you as many views.
It's super important for creators to remember that too. I mean, we see it all the time where someone will make a video, and this is even prior to Shorts, it'll just be like a smash success for them. And then it's this like wind getting knocked out of their sails when they realize, you know, that audience isn't guaranteed. Just because you hit a view threshold you never hit before, that doesn't mean you're entitled to that now forever and ever. And I think with Shorts, everything about Shorts is extreme, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're seeing views for channels that are just getting started we would have never expected. And I think the highs are very high, and I think the lows end up being very low as a result.
Well, it's funny, Dan, because like I'm getting so many people on comments now saying, I made a short and I didn't get any views. Like there is that seeming expectation that because I tell people that you need to make shorts now, it automatically means that you're going to succeed. But I think there's still that element that I kind of want to get into now with Jake's unique talent. Like the fact that the fact that you've said now that you use these tools that Pixar and Disney use. I mean, I just want to ask quickly on that. Like how many people in the world are competent at using such a tool?
I mean, it's hard for me to know. Thousands, though. Thousands.
So, but not that many. I mean, thousands is still not a great pool of people. And how many thousands of those are making YouTube content is probably even less. But I think also beyond the unique content that you can create with this 3D animation, what do you think are the key elements of going into a YouTube short, per se? Like you've only got 20 to 30 seconds to, first of all, hook the viewer and then keep them there. What do you think of the key elements of your success with what you've made, Jack?
Yeah, it's hard to speak about this in front of you guys because I think you guys probably have analyzed this a little bit more than I have.
Well, here's the thing. What I would say is, Jack, that I think I'm very good at talking about shorts and the mechanics, you know, what you need to do, but how you make a YouTube short. I've certainly proven I'm terrible at it because I've made 100 shorts on a shorts channel and done nothing. Dan has had success with gaming. You've had unbelievable success. So I think it now comes into the question of why did you get so many views versus somebody who didn't for a short?
Okay, so I think if I'm just giving, I don't know if this is necessarily shorts pertinent information, but if I'm giving any advice to anybody, my number one thing would be that you have to do it a lot of times and you have to do it every day.
Right, yep.
And the reason why I've been able to like crack the code or like make good content repeatedly is because I've done it like hundreds of times. So like on my TikTok account, like we already said, I grew up on TikTok. I had made 100 videos before I made my first video that got 1 million views or whatever, right? So, and then once you like make a couple videos that get 1 million views or like you start making viral content a little bit more consistently, you can draw connections between them. And so I think part of what, you know, has helped me is undeniably my art style is very unique. Like you cannot get it anywhere else. I would say that's like one of the leading factors in my success. But also there's all the other things that people talk about with like movement in the first 3 seconds. And if it's less than 5 seconds, it should loop. Yeah, use a trending sound or, you know, there's all the generic information that you can get about shorts. But I think probably the leading thing for me is my art style and comes second to the fact that I've just done it a crap ton of times.
This is something that we talked about, Dan, in Channel Audits. A lot of the time is that people, first of all, they discover your content through a popular search term or something that you're, you know, riding the trend of. You know, Jake Felmy was doing Among Us stuff. They love that Among Us stuff, and they fall in love with Jake's unique capacity to animate that stuff, as well as, I think, telling interesting language-free stories. I think that's another important element of shorts in that. I think you very rarely use speech. I think I've heard Gordon Ramsay a couple of times in some of your Among Us for obvious comical reasons, but it's mostly music, isn't it? And I think that has a broader global appeal for shorts in particular. I put it down to like, I'm not saying that your content is Mr. Bean content, but we've all heard of Mr. Bean, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's Rowan Atkinson is a British actor and he's been in lots of comedies where he speaks, but he's Mr. Bean content. I think it has a, it doesn't have any international borders because it's all visual comedy. And so I think, you know, Jake's content is a visual storytelling and popular music that again transcends language. I'm not sure where I was exactly going with that, but
I was never cognizant of that or like the language barrier until I had like 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. And I was like, none of my subscribers were from United States or like 10% of them were.
Yeah. Right.
And all of a sudden it hit me like, oh, I'm making global content. I'm not making. And so even at that point, a lot of my videos did have English in them, but I've tried and pushed really hard to get all language barriers out of my content because that's something I'm recently aware of is the fact that, you know, if you make something that everybody can enjoy, then you're going to ultimately reach a larger audience.
Going back to that Mr. Bean example, if I recall, it's been years since I've seen the show, but I think even signage in the show was pictures. So they didn't have to use any language on the signs. If he was going to the beach or something, there'd be a sign that's very clear you weren't supposed to take your clothes off or whatever. And, you know, I've been trying to explain that to people as well in different channel audits and situations we're in at work here, where if you can make a short and make it so it doesn't have any language barrier at all, you're doing it right. And that leads me to the question I wanted to ask, which was, do you feel like, because I've been feeling this way, do you feel like shorts isn't for everybody on YouTube? It's not going to work for all different genres? Or do you feel like there's hope for a landscaping channel?
Landscaping channel, nice.
I think if you want it to work, you can make it work.
That's very inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's, you know, if you're really reluctant to get into it and you're like, I don't want to do shorts and I'm just never going to work for me, it's likely that it won't. Like a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy there.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're willing to like really push for it and find the way that it will work for you, then I think it will. It's just like how it's just like pulling us back to my thing about, okay, I'm going to have 1 million subscribers in 1 year. I never made content before for social media, never tried to make a viral video before. My only social presence was just, you know, posting pictures at graduation and stuff or whatever. So I knew that it was something I wanted and I was willing to put in the hours to figure out how to make it happen. And I think that's true probably across like, that could just be blanketed across a lot of things in life. Like if you're willing to put in the time and work, you can make it happen. So I didn't know how I was going to make the videos or like what the videos were going to even be about. And like I said, I had 3 different accounts that like were different content strategies and stuff. And I didn't crack the code until the 3rd time and 5 months in. So if you're a landscaper, you could probably make it work.
Well, that wasn't the best example. One example that we see a lot, though, is like financial channels and things like that. People are trying to grow their brand and they want to use short form content to make it kind of a bulletin board for their larger financial channel. You know, I give tax advice, I do all these things, come subscribe to my channel. And in those situations, I found myself saying, I'm sorry, I just don't know if shorts is something you should focus on.
Well, then it shouldn't be a bulletin board.
That's
if so. Here's the thing: if their objective is to gain audience or like meet a new audience through shorts, and they're not having success with a bulletin board, then they have to find a new way to do it that isn't a bulletin board. So my very first TikTok account was a curation account where I just reposted other animators' stuff, and it's like, okay, this person posted it and it was a viral video. Why is it not a viral video when I post it? And it's just kind of like, there's no. Yeah, I don't know. It's like people get this idea of like, okay, this is what shorts look like for me. And you don't, if they don't work, then that's the wrong answer. Like it's not because they're not working for a financial channel. It's because you have the wrong formula.
What's cool about you is that you tried a couple different times, you know, a couple different iterations of this before finding the right thing, you know, and that's just the lesson I think that creators should kind of take away. If you've tried shorts, if you've tried YouTube, and it's just not been clicking. Maybe you're not super into it or you just can't build that audience around it. It's not a bad thing. It's actually a learning experience to take what you've done, learn from it, shut it down, start a new project. I think we all agree.
Well, and it's just, you know, it seems like such an obvious extension of myself to be making animated gaming content. But like I already said, I had never animated a character before my very first Among Us thing. So it was always like just moving screws and stuff. And before that, my entire social media presence was just based around me screen recording myself 3D animating an object and commentating over it. So it's like, it seems like, oh, so obvious, you'll have success if you're an animator, you should animate shorts related to gaming content. But that was not my answer until I like stumbled across it through making hundreds of videos.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, oh, of course, that's like such a viral idea. Why doesn't other people do animated gaming content? I don't know why more people aren't doing it. But it's like, it's not the answer for you if it's until you do it. I don't know.
I think it kind of follows this, I'm probably going to butcher this turn of phrase, but it's the harder I work, the luckier I get. And it's, as you say, when you say, Jake, you kind of stumbled upon this, but you stumbled upon it because you were putting in all of the time and effort to find a solution. So I think any landscapers out there, Dan, going back to the original question, I mean, what I'm thinking for landscapers is, you know, landscaping takes hours, possibly days, possibly weeks. I mean, just turning that stuff into time lapses for shots and making it, you know, hashtag satisfying in some way might be interesting. I know it doesn't take you days and weeks to do animation, Jake, but you say it takes 8 hours. So I think we need to stress here that shorts are not an easy way of just making very quick content and expecting to get lots of views on it. Why does it take 8 hours to make the content, even if it is just 20 seconds long?
Yeah, I always feel like kind of pathetic talking about it because like then you watch one of my videos and you're like, he worked on this for a whole day? Like, But yeah, that's the truth. It's just basically the way that I'm doing it is just the most time consuming. It's just the most time consuming style of content possible for an animator. And admittedly, I'll be very upfront. I'm not the best animator in the world. I'm self-taught on everything that I do. So, you know, I'm open to anybody who has a time hack for me, but that's just like, that's how long it takes. I don't know what else to tell you. Every single joint, like every single time a finger bends or, you know, a wrist moves inward or outwards, it's like I move that, right? And then I go forward half a second. I say, okay, maybe it's moving a little too fast. Then I go back half a second, move it slightly less angle. Then, you know, there's multiple characters moving around. There's all of the texturing and lighting. And yeah, it's an incredibly complex process. I don't want to talk your head off about 3D motion graphics and, you know, the content style, but I actually recently did post a time lapse, an 8-hour time lapse of myself working at the computer. And you see, it's just, you'll watch me take the hand, go up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down for 30 minutes. And it's like, okay, that's the right speed. Now I'm going to bend the finger. So it's like, I don't know. It's weird to talk about because yeah, it's like nothing should, you're watching, you're like, why does this take him 8 hours to do? But yeah, I'm not a great animator, I guess.
Well, I haven't got the patience to do that. You know, the end product is the quality. And as you say, to get the arm to move in the right way takes half an hour. And then when somebody watches it, that probably consumes like a second or two. But it looks right. You know, if you didn't spend that time, it would look janky or weird in some way. I think we all have a little bit of experience of this in terms of, you know, some people will edit a video and it will take them 100 clicks to edit the video. I think for my average video that I edit probably takes 1,000 clicks, you know, whether it is just moving the clip a little bit or importing something, changing the audio, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm guessing for you, you're probably talking about tens of thousands of clicks to create that animation, but it's worth it. You take an example of Mr. Beast. From what I hear, he watches every single video, every single second of his video, and looks at it from the viewer's point of view. And if he doesn't like it, he will go to extreme lengths to correct it. And apparently he's made several videos and just abandoned them because he doesn't think it's going to be right for his audience. And it comes back to, I think, again, which I've spoken about quite a lot recently, quality versus quantity. I think if you put an extreme amount of quantity into your content to begin with, it results in unbelievable quality at the other end of it. And now you're starting to reap the rewards of that, as you say, Jake, you know, making 100 videos before you figured it out, so to speak.
It's funny because, like, at the same time that I have seen direct correlation between the amount of effort that I put in my videos and the payoff, I also think that that is not necessarily the case in 2021. And this might be an incorrect take, but there are plenty of creators on TikTok, especially, that have like blown up or become viral social media stars because of like arguably just random stuff, you know? Like, I've seen one girl like casting doorknobs, like pouring polyester, right? Making doorknobs, and she has like 500,000 followers. That doesn't happen on Instagram or YouTube, right? It's like TikTok has created this sort of generation of people who are actually more willing to watch just random stuff. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but like I think social media in a whole is moving towards content that is less edited and more casual. And yeah, I guess that's a whole nother conversation to be had, but I think it's funny because when I had my first conversation with my, I talked about this on Benji's podcast too, but when I had my first conversation with my YouTube partner, she was like, do you know why your videos are doing well? Like, do you want me to tell you about like what's good about your videos or like how you're catching on? I was just like, of course I know why my videos are good. I'm spending 8 hours a day making these. But I think there's a lot of creators right now who like make stuff and then it goes on TikTok and it just makes them viral all of a sudden. So it's an interesting thing. And I would say like it's really important to start with quantity and just like make a bunch of stuff and then move to quality down the road once you have a better understanding of like what quality is for you. But yeah, I don't know. That's a whole nother tangent, I guess.
I'm glad that at least one person agrees with my theory and it just happens to be someone with 2.5 billion views. So very good, Dan. I've got good support on my argument of quantity versus quality to begin with.
Well, we're in the age of shorts and I mean, it is about quantity, whether we like it or not. Because like you guys have been saying, we're in this gold rush. This is, you know, there's going to be a point where we could probably settle down a little bit because there's just so much content and the rush is over, the saturation's there, and it's kind of leveled out like normal YouTube. But right now, even still, months later, there's a reason to be uploading daily if you can afford to upload daily. And by afford, I mean just the time it takes. But you'll hear me in other scenarios, tell people don't upload daily. It can be a huge drain. And Jake, it takes you 8 hours a day to make a 15 second video. So I think you could speak to that. Now, I still agree. Rob's still right, I think, because you start YouTube, at the very least, you're going to learn how to edit a video by doing this daily, you know, even if they're garbage when you first start. It's good to get all that all the early mistakes out of the way fast. But when we talk about shorts, I mean, gosh, it makes it so much harder because not only do you need the quality, Jake, you benefited from the quality, but daily content was huge for you.
Yeah. I was just talking to like a sculptor the other day, and he was asking me for advice on like, okay, how do I get into social media? And I think for artists like myself, oftentimes it's easy to look at social media as like a portfolio. And even just for any person, you post something on the internet and it's like, oh, this is part of my digital footprint. But I think specifically for artists, it's like, oh, this is my portfolio that I'm putting out. And everybody gets in that mindset of, I'm not going to post it unless it's the perfect thing. But especially for people who are starting out, it's like, you have zero followers, dude. Like, just post whatever. And if one person sees it, you've had success.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, okay, all zero of your followers are going to care so much about your portfolio, right? No, you got to just post something. So, and yeah, find something that you can do daily. So it's not about making the Mona Lisa sculpture or whatever. It's about using, okay, I'm using a fist of clay today. I'm going to make 10 animals or whatever, you know, just something that you can knock out in 15 minutes.
Right. Well, if you had to give any advice other than that, which is great advice, any advice for anyone out there who is, they're starting on YouTube, they're getting into shorts, what would you tell them to help them be successful?
Yeah. So I guess we kind of already covered it, but number one would be do it every day and just get the reps in, like just repetition over and over and over. And number two is a little bit less, well, I don't know if this pertains to everybody. I would say independence is like so important. Being able to create content that is not relying on anyone else is, I think, something that has led me to be successful. Like way back in the day, I was really into Instagram and I wanted to like make Instagram happen for me. And my problem was I needed somebody to take pictures of me. And so I worked like, I would have my little brother, we would go out and we would take like 80 photos in one day. And then I would have content to post for the next month. But it was like such a pain getting him to take photos of me. And it's as soon as you are reliant on, you know, convincing somebody else to be there in the room with you to help film your podcast or to help. I think a lot of creators are fine on independence, but I think that's super important because as soon as you're able to be independent, you can control the fact whether or not you're going to be successful. So,
yeah, I agree. It's one of the things about the vidIQ channel in that still I have complete independence in the content that I make, and it allows me to rush these videos out sometimes when there's new stories come along. But you're now wrestling with that, Jake, in the terms of you want to create even more content or you need help managing the logistics of the size of your channel. And so you're going to lose a bit of independence there, aren't you? Which creates the challenging dynamic for all creators, that how do you grow and stay true, authentic, and have that independence as well?
Yeah, it's something that's been on my mind. It's not something I'm going to do anytime soon, but yeah, I'm definitely hesitant to hand the reins to anybody because it's like, it's my baby. Yeah.
Certainly appreciate that. YouTube Shorts. Obviously you've had amazing, tremendous success of it so far, but is there anything wrong with it? Do you think YouTube can do anything to make it better right now, other than obviously monetizing it for
monetization
in some way?
Jeez, I can't complain about anything.
Come on, you must be able to find something wrong with it.
I would feel so stupid if I had anything to complain about it.
So we can quote you on what you think is rubbish about YouTube Shorts and then send it to all of the news outlets and then this scandal.
Yeah.
Big Jake Feldman reckons YouTube Shorts stinks.
I would say, I think one thing that is difficult is my content is like uploaded ridiculously on such a frequent basis by other people. We talked about this in Clubhouse the other day, but it's like copyright is like, it's a weird thing for me to know what to do about it because on a daily basis, my videos are re-uploaded by just like 10, 20, 30 other people.
Right.
And because they're so short, it's really easy for people to nab and just re-upload.
Yeah.
And I think YouTube's copyright systems, or the, what is it called? Content ID.
Yeah.
Isn't as good as catching 15 seconds of video here and there, because it's often probably runs through as fair use or for some reason or another.
Right. I see. Interesting.
But it's so short that people are just nabbing my videos and like just they're being uploaded on a massive scale.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess that's my one thing that I would complain about, but it's not that big of a deal. And also like these people for the most part are only getting 10 views on their videos. So
yeah. I think that's what's stopping YouTube from bringing in the monetization mechanism. I think it feels to me it's just so rampant with not only people ripping your content, but just endless TikTok content, where YouTube probably really struggles with a content ID because it doesn't actually exist on YouTube already. They're just taking popular TikTokers and sticking it on YouTube before the original content creator realizes the power of shorts themselves.
Well, and yeah, TikTok gives you that little button, just like save video. So it's like you can just go through your scroll through your For You page and just save everyone and re-upload them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It's never been easier to take someone's video. Thank you so much for sitting down with us today. This has been awesome. I think that the things you have to say about this are so really insightful and really inspiring. And it's just been really cool to, you know, even on Clubhouse, just to hear you kind of come out and talk about this stuff.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tube Talk, brought to you by VidIQ. Head over to vidIQ.com/tubetalk for today's show notes and previous episodes. Enjoy the rest of your video making day.